You're listening there to cell phone footage obtained by CNN of humans being sold into slavery in Libya. After getting that video, CNN sent a team to Libya to investigate the slave trade, and last week aired a report that showed young men from Niger being sold off as slaves to work on farms in Libya. CNN senior international correspondent Nima El-Baghir was part of the team in Libya, where she witnessed an auction firsthand, holding one of two secret cameras while watching men sell other men. Nima, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for asking us on.
Nima, the footage that you and your team got for this piece and produced is shocking, and I confess it's sickening. What did you see in Libya?
We arrived knowing that there were a number of auctions, and which in and of itself is unbelievable, a number of auctions happening within the time frame that we were planning on being in country in. And so, I guess the only word to use is devastatingly, we actually had a choice as to which one we would go to. So we narrowed it down in terms of security and in terms of just the feasibility of extraction. And we went into one, and only 20 minutes away, another one was happening. So it was this darkened house. A lot of the people who'd come along to the auction had actually parked around the back. So as we approached from the front, it seemed like this utterly nondescript, normal looking house. And we walked in, and you could tell that they were a little perturbed, but not perturbed enough to stop. And they were still incredibly brazen, and they kept going. And the only thing I can liken it to is when you watch horse auctions, you know, when people are kind of G-ing up the bidders and they're going, oh, you know, what am I bid? Oh, was that an 800? Yep, I got an 800 over there. And it was just, I remember in the moment feeling like this is happening so, so quickly. I need to figure out what our next move is. And that's when you see us in the video, we're kind of hustled out because it was finishing, and us kind of trying to talk our way back in. And it was amazing to watch it back, actually, because it felt like it went on for ages. It was like a good 8 minutes of footage when we went back through our cameras. But actually, in the moment, it felt like a blink of an eye.
Nima, how is this happening in Libya or anywhere else? How does a migrant, let's say from Niger in this case, wind up in a situation where they're being sold for labor?
I think this is a story of exploitation at every single possible level. So you have these people in horrifying circumstances, whether it is conflict, whether it is the situation in Eritrea, where they are forced into conscription indefinitely in the army, or even if it's just devastating economically, and they sell everything, and they're sold this dream. In Nigeria, they call them the pushermen. These are the brokers for the smugglers, and they're essentially told, you know, we'll get you to Europe. So that, I feel like the exploitation starts there. And then you go through these different stages where you are passed from one smuggling network to another. So there are the smuggling networks inside the borders of the country of origin. And then there are the kind of the transition people. And then there are the people that you're handed to at the end in Libya at the point of departure for Europe. And it's there where now we're seeing this bottleneck, where the migrants are building up in the warehouses because the Libyan Coast Guard has been supported increasingly by the Italians financially and in other ways to block the movement of boats to Europe. And so when we were listening to the way they were talking about them, this is how they were describing them. We have an excess of merchandise. And that's how they talked about these human beings. We have an excess of merchandise. And so we need to make money off this merchandise. These people are sitting in our warehouses and they're eating, and this is an expenditure. And so it became an alternative way of making money. So what we didn't manage to get into the piece, and we got into some of the written work that we did, was that the first step is that they call those within the circle of trust that are close to them, and they say, I have 50, let's say, extra boxes this week sitting in my warehouses. Does anybody need anything? And then you'll put out the word and say, oh, I need a gardener, or I need a cleaner. And then once there is still excess beyond that, that's when they have the auctions. So what you saw in those auctions were what the smugglers were referring to as excess merchandise.
Excess merchandise sitting in our warehouses. Nima, what governments know about this now, whether it's Libya or the Italians, and how can it go on one more day if people now know about it?
I mean, that is the question. And what's really heartened us about the response to this internationally is that knowing has now been admitted to publicly. This isn't the first such report. You know, I accept that seeing it visually has a huge impact. I get that. You know, we showed the smoking gun. But the International Organization of Migration was raising these reports to the UN. The International Criminal Court, the office of the prosecutor there, Fatou Bensouda, was in the UN speaking to the Security Council in May of this year, asking to have her portfolio, where she's looking into the Gaddafi-era crimes in Libya, having that enlarged to take in the crimes that are being committed against the migrants. It is naive to say we didn't know. We did know. The world did know. It's just you have what is essentially a country that is teetering into failed statehood. So how do you begin to unpick that? How do you begin to support them in a meaningful way? In this interconnected world, it's extraordinary that we have allowed Libya to become what it is. And these are the ramifications of that.
Libya is what it is, and maybe they don't have the ability to enforce their own laws in this case, Nima. But these human merchants continue to operate. Is the UN, is Italy, is the United States going to put a stop to it?
Well, we haven't heard from the US yet, which is why it's great to speak to you. But the UN Secretary General yesterday gave a statement saying that he would be making available UN resources. What needs to happen is we need to have, or they in the Security Council need to have a session actually genuinely debating the freeing up of resources. What do the Libyans need? In practical terms, the Libyans need actual resources. I mean, you saw the images in the detention center. I mean, putting aside the criminality and the horror of the sale of human beings, even when they're rescued and they're put in those detention centers, the day that we visited that detention center, there was a city-wide water shortage in Tripoli. So for days, those migrants had been drinking out of toilet cubicles. I mean, the inhumanity goes across the board. And again, the world, in terms of the UN and world leaders and governments, knew this was happening. The hope is that now that there has been such outrage on a popular level, on a public level, that people can actually be held to account and the UN can be asked and the White House can be asked and, you know, number 10 can be asked, what are you practically doing?
Human beings are being sold into slavery in Libya, and Nima El-Baghir and her colleagues have the proof. Nima, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nima El-Baghir is a senior international correspondent with CNN.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.